following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 236, recorded on Thursday, February 15th, 2018. I'm Dave Nelson, along with my friend of 20 years, Brad Ludwig.
God, has it been 20 years?
It has. Time flies just like that.
Holy crap.
All right, so coming up on this episode, I've been to Mars, and it's full of alien bodies, claims lawyer in bid for U.S. president. Oh boy, our sightings and picks. But first, the question.
Dave?
Huh? Dave?
Huh?
Hey Dave, what's the question?
If you could be any alien superhero, Brad, who or what would you want to be and why?
I would want to be Tenzel Kem, Matter Eater Lad. From the Legion of Superheroes.
I was going to say, that sounds like a Legion character.
Comes from the planet Bismalia.
Tell me the powers of this guy. What does he do?
He can eat any form of matter. That ability evolved on his planet because there was a biological disaster, and their people evolved the ability to eat any form of matter so that they could, you know, basically survive. And then there was a certain point in time where Mon-El, who was named Valor, was actually in the 20th century, and there was an invasion of the Dominators.
Oh, the Dominators, yeah.
And the Dominators had actually experimented on people to give them different powers. And what ended up happening is Mon-El / Valor was slowly dying, so he made it his mission to find a place for all these people who had been tested on to live, thus populating part of the galaxy for these people that had these special abilities that had been given to them forcibly by the Dominators. And then he was put in the Phantom Zone for 1,000 years. And when he came out, all of these civilizations had 1,000 years to basically idolize him. And that got weird. But anyways, Tenzel Kem, at one point in DC history, he was an ambassador, and he was charismatic and weird and could eat pretty much anything. And he was like one of my favorite Legionnaires in the 90s. So,
okay,
there
you go. Are you happy that the Legion is back on Supergirl?
I'm interested to see who's in the rest of the pods. The last episode that I saw, I haven't seen this week's yet.
They're on break right now. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a few weeks because in the spot of Supergirl, at least for me, it is Legends of Tomorrow. And I read that they're not going to have both shows on at the same time. So Supergirl is taking a short break.
Okay. It ended with Imra Ardeen saying to Mon-El, well, Brainiac 5 and I are going to tell you what the real mission is now. So there are other Legionnaires. We're going to find out who they are pretty soon. And I have my suspicions as to who they're going to be.
Well, tell me. Tell me, who do you think they're going to be?
I'm really hoping that one of them is Block. Block is a... I think he's a... Or no. Again... Because DC like did Crisis and all these things, major events, what ended up happening is it would shaft the Legion of Superheroes because it takes place 1,000 years in the future. So this is supposed to take place 1,000 years in the future, but it doesn't take into account any major crossover type events that could torpedo parts of history or what they've already established, because this comic, again, takes place 1,000 years in the future. So I keep hesitating and saying, well, at this particular time, that happened, and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Block was a silicon-based life form. basically was like a big, you know, rock guy, essentially. Block, eventually you found out that Block was a female. It got strange depending on what point in history you were. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I really have a feeling that we're going to have Lightning Lad and Cosmic Boy, I think, are going to be two of them. But I really kind of get the feeling that they're going to have a female hero. They've got to have a female.
Okay.
Because it's like a huge sausage fest right now if it's Mon-El and Brainiac 5 and just Imra. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry, Imra.
Yeah.
So it could be Light Lass or Lightning Lass, depending on, again, her powers got kind of screwed up. It couldn't be Block because it would be too graphics intensive. I was hoping, but I keep talking myself out of it. Anyways, there you go.
Okay.
So as I recall, I think there's just three more pods that need to open, and that'll be it.
All right. Well, I don't have an answer, really, because I don't know enough extraterrestrial superheroes.
Superman?
I was going to say Superman is the one that comes to mind. And then there's the ones I've learned from Supergirl, like Martian Manhunter. Of course, there's the Guardians of the Galaxy, those aliens. But they're not really superheroes. They kind of are, but they're not. So I'm a bit torn. I'm going to leave myself out of it. We're going to go with your answer, and then we're going to move on. How does that sound?
Fair enough.
Thank you for the DC history lesson on...
Way too much history.
Yeah.
If you can wake up now, okay. Folks.
In the news.
From express.co.uk, the title of the story, "I've been to Mars and it's full of alien bodies," claims lawyer in bid to be U.S. president. A top... lawyer, in capital letters, top lawyer, who hopes to be the next U.S. president, has sensationally claimed he once traveled to Mars as part of a secret space program. Andrew Basagio, a trial lawyer who stood as an independent candidate for the U.S. presidential election in 2016, has indicated he will contest the next one from 2020. I guess that's a British way of saying he's going to run again. But he bizarrely claims that as a child in the 60s, he took part of an alleged CIA program called Project Pegasus, in which he traveled through space and time.
Oh, space and time.
Space and time.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. He claims time travel has been possible since then, since the 60s, said during his college years in the 1980s, he took part in another CIA project, the Mars Jump Room Program, which was part of an alleged secret space program to send people to Mars. Conspiracy theorists claim billions of dollars each year are mysteriously moved from the U.S. Pentagon budget to fund so-called black space projects that have seen humans travel deeper into space than most of us would believe. He's quoted as saying, "I certainly never saw anything like that on Mars the 40 or so times that I went there 30 to 35 years ago." However, he said he had written a paper, "The Discovery of Life on Mars," in 2008, which had evidence of a mass grave on the red planet. He's quoted as saying, "I show that in a ravine west of the home plate in the Gustav crater on Mars, there was a mass grave of several hundred humanoid bodies, both male and female, clothed in uniform blue clothes, suggestive of regimentation." So I would urge objectified open-mindedness. It's a crazy concept to believe it's not just Earthlings who have been kidnapped here, abducted here on Mars, but there might be children who have been enslaved there.
Children? That makes me sad.
That took a turn.
Yeah.
In 2008, he submitted a scientific paper which claimed to prove that there were an array of creatures and humanoids living on Mars in the National Geographic Society, but they declined on grounds that Mr. Basagio was just experiencing pareidolia,
Do you know what pareidolia is?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked that. It's a psychological phenomenon in which the mind responds to a stimulus, usually an image or a sound, by perceiving a familiar pattern where none exists. Okay. It's like when you look at the famous picture of the face on Mars. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. And when you look at a higher resolution image with better equipment that we have now, it doesn't look like a face. So basically that's what they're saying, is he's just experiencing that. In almost identical research to Scott C. Waring,
editor
of UFO Sighting Daily, Mr. Bisaggio has spent hours looking at images taken by the NASA Spirit and Curiosity rovers on Mars and felt he spotted living things NASA had overlooked. That'll do it. It's like listening to a bunch of static and then saying, oh, wait, there's voices there. And once you...
If you enjoy this podcast, The Alien Invasion, and would like to get involved and be our partner, you know, do more than just subscribe or listen, you can be a partner with us by going to gncasts.com/support and then click on the Patreon link. We have different levels and they all have rewards. $1, $3, and $5 a month. And we're not talking per episode or per week. This is per month. Almost anybody could afford $1 a month. And you could even get your name mentioned on the air, get a bonus podcast, or even have a whole message read by one of us jokers. You know, consider it like a commercial. Like, you got something coming up, you got something you want to get some eyeballs on or some eardrums on, become a partner at the $5 level, and that will get you a commercial on all of our shows. So again, go to gncasts.com/support and become our partner. Partner? All right. Good enough. So do you believe this guy?
I do not.
And why, sir? Why do you not believe this guy?
Space travel is something that you rally people behind. You know what I'm saying? It was twofold. The purposes of the launch that Elon Musk did with the Falcon Heavy was, one, they needed to test and see if the thing would actually work the way it was supposed to. So they had to put a dummy payload in there. So why wouldn't you put your car in there?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
If you're freaking Elon Musk, why not? I mean, you look at the numbers of people that actually watched that launch. That's huge. What TV organization wouldn't like to have advertising or something playing when they know that they're going to have eyes on that? You know what I'm saying? Even the secret, like the shuttle, like the it looks like a mini space shuttle, essentially, but it's like this secret craft that keeps getting launched into space, and it's
I've seen that.
Testing things,
yeah.
Or we don't really know exactly what it is. We even hear about that. So a vehicle that is large enough to launch people into space is going to be noticed, especially in this day and age where high-quality cameras are dirt cheap. It's going to be seen. So I don't believe... Yeah, they're talking about a launch that happened in 1980. Yeah, I get that. But if anything were going to happen, especially now, it would be seen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Space is such a huge draw to people. You can't hide that. You just can't, because a rocket that would launch a bunch of people into space would be huge and would make a lot of noise. And it's not like something that you can, it's not like sneaking into your neighbor's backyard and taking their newspaper at 3 a.m. It's not like that. It's loud. It's messy. It's noisy. It's going to be heard. It's going to be seen. So no, I don't think that's possible.
Do you think him claiming all this will help or hurt his hopes or his want to run for president and win the election.
It's not going to help mass appeal, but no. Maybe he's not going for mass appeal. Maybe he's trying to get a specific voter type. I just don't know.
We'll find out in 2 years, right? 2 years? No,
yeah.
2.5 years, whatever. All right. Thanks for that story. You can read more. Like Brad said, we have the link in the show notes, and you can read more about it right there. Right there. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
It had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular in a disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
Let's continue now with the sighting.
Would you say it's an exciting sighting?
It is an exciting sighting. Okay, here we go. UFOs spotted in large groups in the U.S. on the same day in 3 different locations.
What?
Yeah, it's not just one sighting. It's not 2 sightings, but it's 3 different sightings in one. Okay. The sightings were observed over a span of less than 8 hours on January 13th, 2018, with many people reporting multiple crafts in the same location. These incidents were reported and are being investigated by National UFO Reporting Center, or as Mulder would say it, NUFORC. The first encounter of the incident took place at 12:45 p.m. in Pasadena, California, when around 5 UFOs were spotted. A man said he saw shiny dots in the sky, which appeared to hover while remaining still. He also revealed that one of the UFOs was moving slowly, while the others remained still. He observed the strange crafts for about an hour. 7 other people observing this witnessed a cluster of at least 5 tiny white objects that hovered almost motionless in a clear, cloudless sky for approximately 1 hour. The second UFO sighting took place on also January 13th around 2:30 p.m. This one took place in Carlsbad, California, around 5 circular or oval orbs were seen by the witness. So I guess there's only one witness this time. One man reported to NUFORC that he noticed one very outstanding whitish-looking object between egg and football-shaped, but sometimes looking more round and other times having more of a top shape. A top, that's the thing, the spinny thing, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Think of an inverted pyramid, but rounded.
Okay. The third sighting took place on the same day in Hollywood, Florida. So we went from the West Coast to the East Coast. So if these are the same objects, they flew quite the distance.
Yeah, they did.
Unless they have control over, like, if they have a wormhole that they go through or something, or can travel at extreme speeds. Okay, there in Hollywood, Florida, numerous orange lights were observed moving above the coastline at a slow pace, a law enforcement officer stated. Numerous orange lights observed moving slowly above the ocean from north to south. All lights disappeared simultaneously, the man said. The officer, he's an officer, said. So I trust this guy. He's a police officer. He's trained in making observations.
Seems legit.
Yeah, so that's all I got. Three different sightings on the same day in three different locations. Two of them had multiple crafts or multiple objects seen. So I have a question for you, Brad. What do you think the aliens want? What are they doing? Why appear in three different locations on the same day? If these are related, how could they be connected?
Perhaps they are taking samples. They are observing something very specific that they thought they could only catch in those three areas, perhaps. Pasadena, Carlsbad, and Hollywood, Florida.
You're trying to figure out like if there's a connection. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe they were preparing for some kind of invasion and they stopped.
If climate change is to be believed, sorry, they're looking for beachfront property.
Oh, okay. So you check the map. It's all these locations are by the ocean.
Or with water levels rising, they will be.
Okay. So they're...
You buy cheap now, and eventually the ocean comes to you.
Do you think...
And then you got something.
Do you think they know something we don't know?
Maybe. Hard to say.
Okay. All right. That is our sighting this time around. If you have a sighting, a personal sighting, if you've seen something, say something, let us know. Aliens. Yeah, aliens@gncasts.com. aliens@gncasts.com.
The galaxy far, far away feels closer now than ever before, and your guides through this galaxy are ready to help. I'm Zach Hagenbusher, one half of the new Jedi Archives podcast with Ben Schultz. Join us every other Tuesday for our experiences with the Star Wars saga, from the core films that we know and love, well, you know, some of them, to the annals of history and the works that shaped Star Wars into what we know it as today. Just jump in wherever you'd like. Download an episode of the new Jedi Archives today.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making. My pick this time out is something I found on Netflix. There's a lot of interesting things that show up on Netflix, a lot of original programming. I still need to see the Cloverfield Paradox. I'm very excited about that. I haven't quite caught it yet, but when I was, I have an hour lunch and I have what I call lunch of sadness at my desk. I usually eat at my desk in my office. And so I fire up the Netflix sometimes and I found Alien Contact, Outer Space.
Let me guess. The show is going to be about alien contact that has happened in outer space.
Yeah, it is a documentary from a group of people that put out a lot of documentaries about aliens and alien related things. And I don't feel like it is very well researched. I feel that, you know, while this came out in 2017, it came out in October 10th of 2017 originally. Okay. So we were like 4 or 5 months ago, and it had dated information in it already. I mean, previous to that time, stuff happened. Now, of course, some of this stuff may have happened, you know, while they were shooting and they took a long time to edit and put it together. Like one of the things they were talking about is X-ray bursts that they discovered that they actually witnessed come out of a black hole. And they're saying that, you know, they're looking at data now and they're trying to figure out what's going on. While that is partially true, they do have some very strong theories about what it is. And part of that is like Hawking radiation. And they've been talking about Hawking radiation for quite some time. Basically that you can't destroy something completely. There is something that is still left over. And part of that is it comes out as it's expressed as like Hawking radiation and X-rays and things like that. So, I mean, they have a general idea. Has it been proven? No, it's working theory. I guess until you actually like travel into a black hole, you're not really gonna know decisively. It just felt slapdash, haphazard. And I only got halfway through it and I was bored to tears. The gentleman who was doing the voiceover was putting me to sleep, and I really shouldn't sleep at work. So I stopped watching about halfway through. This particular documentary is approximately 63 minutes, but it is absolutely dreadful. Like I said, it's slapdash. It doesn't feel like they did a whole lot of research, and it was a lot of conjecture. They didn't really feel like they did their due diligence in their research. They didn't really interview people. They just took bits of information that they had and went, it could be. And you know, that does play to some folks, and that's fine. If you enjoy that, I'm not going to knock that. It's just not for me. So quite honestly, I wish, and I, like I said, I only got halfway through it. I really wish I could get that half hour of my life back, because I feel like I truly wasted it. And I've watched some of their other stuff before. I saw the company's name that had put it out, and I'm like, oh, it's them. Because I've seen some of their stuff before, and it just really does not feel like it is.
It's not up to par with the rest of their stuff, is what you're saying.
It's not up to par to any documentary that it should be taken seriously, quite honestly. And I sound like a pretentious ass when I say that, and I'm not trying to. But when you watch a documentary, you pray that they at least interview a couple of people. You make your assertion. You present some facts to try to back that up, and then you talk to a couple of people that can help explain those facts in easier to digest bites, or to better explain those facts that have been presented. To me, that makes it humanizes the data a little bit and helps the person who's watching it understand and feel like they're coming away with something. And I watched that and I felt like I had wasted my life, because it just felt like they were pulling random rumors out of their keisters, and you know, and they just kept rolling with it. And I felt sad after watching it. So I give it a half a flying saucer.
Oh my God. I think that's the very first half a flying saucer that we've had as a pick grade.
And I don't hand that out lightly. That's how betrayed I felt after watching only a half an hour of that.
So in the picks warning categories, this is definitely a warning.
It is absolutely a warning.
Okay. Warning. Will Robinson, yeah. Warning.
Yes.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
Again, it is called Alien. I almost read my note. I put something fairly profane underneath it as to how I truly felt. I gave you a long, involved explanation of what I felt. I could have summed it up in two words, and I'm not going to. Alien Contact, Outer Space. Don't watch it.
We'll have the link in the show notes, but don't click on it.
No.
Save yourself time and...
You'll be angry after watching it, and you'll go, oh, that son of a gun, he got me to watch that garbage. No, I am telling you not to watch that garbage. There are far better things. You could dunk your head in a toilet for a half an hour and come away with something a little bit better.
Okay. Point taken.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
That is going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click on the linkies in the show notesies. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for providing our intro music. The song, the kick butt song, is called Alien Syndrome. You can find out more about that and other music at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. 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 Also to Retward von Dermberg. That's right. Retward von Dermberg. And the song is called Be Water. It's the one that we play at the end. Maybe it's playing right now. I don't know. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net, thecaravel.net. And also thanks to Mr. Ben Olson.
Thanks, Ben.
For recording the disclaimer audio at the very beginning of the show. All right. Wrapping things up. Final thought. Brad, what do you got?
I am really looking forward to seeing Black Panther. I probably won't see it this weekend, but I'm going to see it soon. And we're going to find out about vibranium, which is the only reason why I'm mentioning it really is it's from a meteorite that came from outer space, a very large one that has plopped this vast wealth in Wakanda. And vibranium is the material that is used in Captain America's shield.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it as well. Probably not this weekend either, but sometime in the near future. And that movie leads directly into Avengers Infinity War, right? That's
yes.
From the previews, it looks like part of it takes place in Wakanda.
Yeah.
With T'Challa and the gang.
Correct.
All right. That's going to do it. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.